There's a hunger in my heart, a hunger in my soul for you. It grows and it grows and it feeds me like it's never fed me. This is West Coast Project's coverage of The Affair, and we're here for episode 4. My name is Mike.
And I'm Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
So here we are trying to catch up. We're jamming these in a little quickly here. We might have one a night for a couple nights in a row till we get to number 6.
Yeah.
It's November 13th today, and we're doing number 4. So we're here for episode 4 of The Affair.
But we'll definitely try to have it caught up by episode 6 and have it out on time.
And so, Michelle, number 4, this is where it started to get slow for me, and I was ready almost to bail. But I'm still hopeful. I'm still hopeful. And I've only seen through episode 4 as of November 13th. So,
well, I've seen episode 5, and just let me tell you, don't bail.
All right. So, part 1, Noah. Why does Noah always get to go first?
Well, I don't know, but I don't think that will continue.
All right, Miss Spoiler. So Noah's outside the Suffolk County Police Department, and he's getting interviewed. So he's critical. He's taking a break. I'll get to this later on in this podcast, this podcast of episode four. They can come and go as they please in these interviews. It's not like they're chained to the table. But he's outside on the phone, and he's talking to Trevor, his son, about, I guess, a Mark Twain essay or some sort of essay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Mark Twain, evidently, something he's written up on Mark Twain about. You know, so we're going to assume how much time has passed now. Because, I mean, Trevor's probably not 10 writing about Mark Twain in the way he was talking to him, right?
Why not?
I don't know. It just seemed kind of older to me than that. I could certainly be wrong, but I don't know. Something about the content of what he was saying definitely seemed more high schoolish than elementary schoolish. So
to me, he sounded like an ass. He sounded like a writer. Like, you can't leave a preposition hanging like that. You didn't properly explain your theory.
Yeah, but we have to think that Trevor's called him, right? And had this conversation with him and said, I need your help. And if somebody says, I need your help, then you would say, well, don't leave, you know, your preposition to hang. I mean, you know, if you're a writer, you would certainly say that. Although, you know, I don't know. I just felt like the content and the things he was saying, I can't even remember exactly what it was, but it certainly did not resonate with me with a young kid. And I'm trying to figure out how much time has passed. And I'm also trying to figure out how much time has passed. Are we seeing the same amount of time, do you think, when the detective is interviewing Noah as when he's interviewing Allie?
I don't know that we know that. Like, are they, is it like True Detective where they're one after the other a week apart? Or is it a year later? Is it 2 years later? We don't
or
know
5
that.
Years later or 10 years later, because there's so many discrepancies in it that somebody's lying. And I'm not even talking, I'm talking about the detective. I mean, the situations are different. And I don't know. I can't figure it out, but I guess we'll get into it.
The detective is, and unless the show is set up on these two parallel universes, the detective is lying too. And you started to talk about this in the last podcast, but he's divorced now, but in the other version, he has 25 years of marriage. Right?
Well, right.
He talks about his twin boys and his wife has custody, but
earlier, in this one, he talks about how he doesn't see his teenage son, I thought he said, because his wife got custody.
Yeah, so if you're married for 25 years and happy, there's no custody, and now there's
custody.
Well,
no, and he doesn't just talk about how he's happy. He talks about how they're like newlyweds. I mean, we're not even talking about he's just in a quote-unquote, whatever that may be, normal 25-year marriage. We're talking about he says they're like newlyweds. They still adore each other.
Is he lying, or are we in separate parallel timelines here?
I'm not sure. Or, you know, somebody pointed out on Reddit, this was another Reddit conversation where somebody was saying maybe it was several years later that he's interviewing Noah after he had interviewed Allison.
So his marriage ended and everything went to hell?
Right. But actually the person says that they thought that they were interviewing Noah before they were interviewing Allison.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. Because if you have twin boys, they're going to be 20 years old. They're not going to have custody. You know,
they might not be 20. Just because you've been married 25 years, you may have
a 10-year-old. You got to go with Occam's razor, right? If you hear hoof beats in the distance, you don't think it's a zebra. You think it's a horse. You take the most obvious pathway.
So do you think then that the detective is just relating to them? What's your take?
I think the detective story is different. I don't think it's like we were married for 25 years and then, you know, our 6-year-old son from our 25-year marriage, she got custody. I don't think it's that. I think it's a different, there's a freaky twist.
Okay. I'm clueless. I've been reading all the theories and stuff on Reddit, which I love, by the way. And if anybody listens from Reddit, I would love to get in a conversation on there before, after, whenever we do these podcasts. But I don't know. I'm not sure.
They're on the ferry to Block Island. Michelle, what do you know about Block Island?
Nothing.
I didn't know that much either. I've been to Montauk, I've been to Long Island, but Block Island is actually part of Rhode Island. It's a part of the state of Rhode Island. Of course, Long Island is New York. But if you look at Long Island, it goes way out, goes out into the ocean, like along, goes kind of eastward towards the center of the Atlantic Ocean.
Uh-huh.
For like 13 miles, and then off the coast of Rhode Island is Block Island, so you can go along a Long Island for a long ways and like be parallel to a few other states besides New York. So Block Island.
So it's a good little trip out there then.
Well, it's not that far, but it's all those states are so small that they're close together. Rhode Island's the smallest state. So
that's interesting, though. Why would he be researching Block Island if what he's writing about is on Montauk?
Well, he's creating. He's not just researching history. He's creating.
Yeah, but he goes into, like, the heritage museums and stuff like that. I mean, it's like he's researching. I don't know.
Looking for ideas. And okay. Plus, he's trying to screw this chick and take her out on cool places.
Not so. According to him. According to him, he's trying to, like, hold her at arm's length, and she just won't have it.
What do you think he's trying to do?
Yeah, I don't buy it. You know how I feel.
So he's taking her, you know, he's getting her out of, like, her home base. He's
going partying. Someplace they can hold hands. Yeah.
Also, what do I know about Block Island here? I got a whole Wikipedia thing. So it's 1,000 people live on Block Island. So it's small. It's like a tiny little island right kind of close to New York and Rhode Island. So I was not happy with this episode, Michelle. But I did make some notes. I tried to make the best of it. And I made a note that going somewhere with someone ramps it up a notch. So that kind of addresses what we just said, that it makes it seem like a little bit more serious of a relationship, like you're going out of town together.
But that's not how they made it seem. I mean, a ferry ride in New York, I don't know if that counts as going someplace with somebody. I mean,
the hell like it doesn't. They're going to a hotel and a bed, and they could never
do
that.
Well, that wasn't the point. I mean, they weren't supposed to be going to the hotel. They were going there for him to do some research. They just ended up at the hotel.
All right. Well, I live in Northern California, and if you go with someone to like Lake Tahoe, which is, you know, 200 miles away.
Yeah.
That's a trip. You know, you're not going on a date to Applebee's. It's if you go on a trip with somebody, you're going, it's a little bit more ramped up.
Okay.
Anyway, that's where they're going, Block Island. That's where it is, and that's what it is. It's 1,000 people. And so on the ferry, they take a ferry there because it's only 13 miles. Some asshole lady spills coffee, bumps into him, and goes on her merry goddamn way without even stopping and saying, "Oh my Jeez. God!"
First Did that all, upset you?
Can I buy you another $2 cup of coffee, or can I pay $15 for your dry cleaning or whatever? She just doesn't even. Oh, excuse me. Oh, and she goes on her merry way. That was bad.
Goodness, Mike, you got a little upset over that.
Well, what would you do?
You were more upset over it than he was. I would let it go. I don't care.
Oh, I wouldn't let it go.
I know.
I'm going to slap that bitch.
You would not. You would not. Maybe in your mind, outwardly, you would be said, very polite.
What the hell, lady? I would have addressed it. I wouldn't have let it go like he did.
I thought he was, you know, kind.
Well, he was an idiot. He's going to be more of an idiot, though, as soon as I'm done with him.
Jeez.
So Ellie meets a lady on the boat that she knows on the ferry, and Noah has to keep to himself with his coffee shirt. And I guess they're, I don't know if they're trying to be secretive or if it's really research or whatever, but they're on their way to Block Island, and they get to land, they reunite, and the lady goes off on her cab ride, and Ellie comes back to Noah.
Yeah, because she waves him off. So,
yeah.
Why couldn't somebody come up and talk to you? I mean, if you're friends with somebody, why couldn't they come up and stand with you and hand you the coffee and have a conversation with the lady who comes up?
Because it's not her husband.
Yeah, but I mean, the women lady knows and men her. Are the friends.
Lady, the lady.
I know. I don't know.
That's why. I'm telling you, you asked, I'm giving you the answer.
Okay.
So they go to buy Noah a new shirt. And Noah, God, I'm gonna rip Noah apart in this episode.
Okay.
He can't pick his own shirt. Do you like this? Do you like this one? Do you like this one? I never do that, Michelle. I buy my own shit. I don't ask if this one's good. Do you like this one? How do I look in this one? I hate that. So I didn't like that about Noah.
I don't know if I know any guys that do that, honestly. I'm trying to think. I can't picture any guys that say, do you like this?
Yeah, he's like, how a chick. How does this look on me, baby?
That sounds that does sound like a girl thing to do.
I
hope we don't get hate mail for that. But
in that same store, Allie buys a dress or something for herself, and at her invitation, they flirt in the dressing room. She says, come on back in the dressing room. So
they flirt.
Well, they start by flirting. She's flirting, but this is his version, so.
Okay, sorry. You're right.
So it turns into more than that, but she invites him to the dressing room.
And, yes, she does.
Then they buy some ice cream, him chocolate, her vanilla. They're so different, Michelle. Gosh, so it's so clear that they're different.
I know. How can they even try to make a relationship with something like that? Just give it up, people.
And they look at the lighthouse on Block Island. It has a frontal lens, which he is totally into, and she's, like, kind of humoring him.
Well, I mean, what he was saying was really pretty in-depth, you know? I mean, he was really going into it. But it was neat to see his passion for that. See, I like that. I like that he had a passion for something other than, you know, her.
So they walk.
And can I just point out before we go any farther, them in that dressing room, I'm just going to tell you that that's why I wash everything before I wear it, after I buy it. That is so disgusting. That was not good. So anyway, we can jump back now.
So they walk around the island and Noah starts to tell her about his life. And he slept with 3 women. We learned that. And his mother was sick in high school, and she died from MS when he was 17.
Yeah.
This kind of all goes back to that story about him being like a young, confused man and getting married before college ended and kind of finding his way to become a man.
Right.
And Ellie has slept with thousands.
Thousands. On an island of hundreds, she has somehow slept with thousands. So, okay.
Well, there's a lot of tourists.
Okay.
Her grandma is still alive and lives on the North Shore, I think probably Jersey Shore. She just calls it North Shore, but I don't know. That's not the North Shore of Montauk. Maybe it is, I guess. Could be anywhere. It doesn't matter. And she has Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I think it has to be on Montauk because she drives to it at some point.
And she doesn't know where her mom is, so
right.
I guess we knew a little bit of that before. Ellie shows them the Mohegan Bluffs, where the invading Mohegan Indians were pushed to their death by the residents.
Yep.
And then shows them a shipwreck and relates it to Peter Pan. And then they're kissing again. And you know, Michelle, I made a note here, too. Whenever I see romantic activity, I got to stop and remind myself whose point of view we're in.
Yeah.
Like, is she hot for him? Is he hot for her? Is she twisting it? Is he twisting it? I find myself doing that a lot in this show.
Well, if yeah, I do too. I have to stop and think because it's. I think as the show goes on, it's going to become more clear if it stays true to character. But so far, I agree. You really have to stop and think because I mean, so far they're showing each of them being the standoffish one. And the one who's trying to not do something where the pull is just so strong and the other one's so aggressive that it's hard to resist. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
So they go right from having ice cream to having whiskey. They go to a bar and they're having Jameson's. Jameson's my favorite whiskey.
Oh, is it?
It's really good. Yeah, it's... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with Jameson's.
Okay. It's not too super strong where it like burns your throat, but it tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is. So Ellie asks how that...
All whiskey burns your throat, by the way. But it's good whiskey. Yeah, I agree.
Ellie asks him how the writing is going, and he tells her that he sent in chapter one to the to Harry. The
right.
agent. And he's really reluctant about that. He's like, oh, I fucked up. I probably shouldn't have, but I did it anyway.
Well, because he hasn't heard anything back from him. And I think he's feeling insecure about that because he hasn't heard back from him after he went against what he felt like he should do and sent him a rough draft. A first draft.
He's a pussy.
First chapter.
He is a pussy.
And this is his recollection of it.
Right. I'm telling you now, this guy is a patsy. He's not thinking, I'm gonna risk everything and write my book, and here's my best, Mr. Agent Harry, take it, and, you know, I'm going to make the chapter two even better. He's a patsy. He's, like, afraid of everything.
He second-guesses everything. If he's telling the truth, he second-guesses everything. He second-guesses his relationship with his in-laws, his relationship with his wife, he second guesses his relationship with his children, he second guesses his relationship with Alice. That's all he does. Everything he does is just like, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, we shouldn't do this. This shouldn't happen. I mean, damn, man, make a decision.
All right, Michelle, slow your roll, baby. God, I'm getting a little fired up there. So Noah asks Allie, are you a good person? And Allie says no. And this was a little interesting that she didn't think she was a good person. And again, he's a little bit pissy, like guilty about cheating on Helen. And he asks her, why me? Why did you pick me? And Allie gave the best answer of the whole show so far. I think, I like you. I love the best answer is a simple, like most revealing, truest, like, I just like you. I like all these things about you. And she listed a bunch of stuff. Although she did make this comment that I had to recheck my reference file of memory. I want to know what it feels like to be underneath you. So they have not had sex. Like,
that's what I said. Yeah, they did not have sex. Yeah. We thought they did, but they didn't. And it comes out later on that he was just, you know, with his hand. And that's all that happened there. So they did not have sex on the beach or on the waterfront that night. They've not been together yet. So, you know, you were saying it doesn't matter, but it kind of matters because to him it matters. It's not like a complete, you know, discretion against his wife. And so he's kind of having this discussion with her about he has not cheated on Helen and they haven't had sex yet. But I thought something interesting there. That whole little bar thing was really deep to me. She asked him if he wants her to say that she's worth it. And then she says, because I'm probably not. Now, this is his recollection. But what a thing to say. I thought that was pretty a pretty profound thing to say. And then he asks her if she's ever cheated on Cole. And she says she's not. But then she does go into the things that she likes about him, like what she said. And she likes the way he talks and the way he thinks. And she likes the way he touches her. And she wants to know what it feels like to be underneath him.
Yeah. And I don't know. I like the whole scene of the bar. Like, that would have been a pretty cool spot in a date like this. Like, oh, a cool bar. We'll have a drink and talk. And just kind of out of the, you know, we're not going to have coffee spilled on us by some dopey lady. It just looked like a cool bar, and they're having, you know, a close time, quiet time. They look right. Pretty comfortable. Like, it could have been a good conversation.
Right, I agree.
But here, I'm going to be a broken record in this, but God, this guy, he's a pissant. He gets a call from Helen, and it's odd that he's remembering this wimpiness, that he's relating this pissy little version of himself. Right. And Allie suffers through it. Like, he's not quite out of earshot while he's on the phone with Helen. Like, I don't care if she's dying. Can't you take her to the hospital? Like, he's trying to get rid of her. He just looks like a doofus.
Well, his phone's ringing for the second time, and he walks like literally two steps away. What's the point of walking away at all? Why don't he sit there and hold her hand?
Or walk away. But, yeah, walk away, you know, right, to
walk
another
away
room.
Or don't. But don't just step away. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but it shows Allison sitting at the bar while he's talking, and she's rolling her eyes. And, of course, you know, I've rolled my eyes so many times at everything he said that I thought it was kind of funny. But that's the first little clue that we see anything like that from her.
The whole television viewership of 4 million viewers were rolling their eyes.
Yeah. I mean, we're just all just like rolling our eyes all over the place. So I don't know.
So Allison leaves the bar and takes the first train to Clarksville or wherever.
Connecticut.
It's the ferry to Connecticut.
Ferry to Connecticut. Yeah. But first, I mean, he whispers to his wife. Did you notice that he loves her too? We got to talk about that because that's important. He whispers it. He's like, yeah, love you too. You know, and it's like, what? What is that? And then Allison tried to touch him. She puts her hand on his or whatever, you know, and he recoils from her. And she points out that coming there was his idea. And then she storms out. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Noah? We're going to do this again? In your mind, you've done this how many times? You've said, Allison, come here. Come here, Allison. I want to be with you, Allison. And then every time she comes close to you, you know, pop her in the forehead and knock her away. I mean, again? And this is his story. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's really interesting. In fact, that's the almost only redeeming part of this, that this is his story of making himself look so pissanty.
Well, it is and it's not. At the same time, you're thinking, how can he make himself look like a hero to all of his children, saving their lives and saving their virtues and everything, and then act like this with her?
So what's the answer to that? That's a good question.
I don't know. I just have the questions. I don't have the answer.
That's a pretty funny trope, though, in movies and shows, like the I love you, baby. You hear the woman's voice on the phone, and the guy's in front of other guys or other people, and he's like, oh, yeah, me too. Like, he doesn't know how to respond. And then when the people around him know that you're supposed to say, I love you too, man. I love you too. I love you as much as you love me. They're like, just say it. I don't know. You see that sometimes in commercials or shows. It's funny. But anyway, Noah is so troubled. He's so troubled. So Allie leaves and goes and gets a ticket on the ferry to Connecticut.
And he's like following her. And
so
ask
Michelle,
her not to go.
You're a woman.
Yeah.
You're a woman. Is sex,
I am.
Is sex in your underwear without having? It's like, is all sex? Is sex like one, or not? Is sex sex or not sex? Like if a guy touches you, is that sex, or do you have to have intercourse to be sex?
You know, I don't think everything's sex. I know we've actually had this conversation before in a different conversation. So I know your thoughts on it probably, but no, I do not think touching someone's underwear is necessarily sex. It's sexual contact for sure, but I don't think I would call it sex.
Interesting.
But you would, right?
Yeah, I would say of course it's sex. It's more than a peck on the cheek. It's more than making out. It's like you've reached another level of intimacy.
See, I just think that intimacy is so much different, potentially, than sex. And I think you're talking, you know, apples and oranges in that. But, you know, is kissing sex? Is
no.
Making out sex? You know, if you're really kissing, is, you know.
No.
So what constitutes sex? Like genital touching that constitutes
sex?
Yeah,
I think that's sex.
Okay, so if you just touch a guy through his pants, then that's sex.
Well, for me, that's like really weird and something else, but...
Okay, I'm just asking.
I think so, yeah. I think people touching each other's genital areas is sex.
What about breasts?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sex.
Anyway, I liked Allie standing up to Noah here. I liked her calling him on his bullshit, and I liked that in his version she stands up to him. And she appears to leave on the ferry, but we see that she hasn't really left, and we'll see that in a minute. But
she actually walks up on the ferry, though.
Yeah, that was weird. Like that puts like, is there an ethereal alternative reality to this whole crap? She gets on the ferry. The ferry pulls out of town, and then she later on shows back up at the gift shop. What the hell? I guess we didn't really see the ferry pull out, though.
No. But, I mean, is she just doing that for dramatic effect? Is that what he's saying? Because, I mean, that's kind of crappy if she's doing that.
If the ferry pulls out, is it really sex? Anyway. Noah goes to the museum. So he is trying to work, I guess. But is he trying to work or is he trying to... He grills the old lady and tells her he knows Allison. And I like this old lady, too. She gave him the direct, this true answer, like, all these young kids should bypass yoga and get right to the sex. Why put your butt up in the air on a mat when you just want to have sex with somebody?
Yeah, I mean, again, was Noah's take on that. I cannot, maybe, but that's pretty far-fetched that he's going to walk into a curator's office of a museum, a historical museum, and she's going to start just immediately blurting out sex to somebody.
Well,
I don't know.
She's a hot number.
She is, but I didn't buy it.
So what do you think he was looking for here? What do you think he was going to the museum for? Historical evidence and just like content for his book, or do you think he was trying to dig up shit on Allison?
I think he had time to kill and she was gone, and he had to wait till that ferry that wasn't going to come around till 5 o'clock anyway to take him back. And so he was going to go ahead and finish what he started, but he was going to figure out. No, I mean, he was definitely trying to get the scoop on Allie, don't you think? Because, I mean, he went in there, he starts asking her about Allie. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to point out that he knew her or anything. So there was definitely, he was definitely bringing Allie along, even though Allie wasn't there.
I guess so. Allie has some presence on Block Island that I guess she told him about or he knows about.
Well, they had stood there. Remember, they had that conversation about where her grandfather took her, and the Indians and the shipwreck and all that.
That could have been 25 years ago,
right?
But whatever. He's in the historical museum, and he sees the painting of the shipwreck and the lighthouse, and
right.
Kind of like shows his life as a shipwreck, is what I kind of took from that. But he sees the Mohegan Indians getting pushed into the sea, like she described, and. Then he gets a call from Harry that his book idea seems to be moving forward, that first draft looked better than he thought.
Right.
He underestimated himself.
Right. So if he had just had some faith in his stuff and not done that, I shouldn't have done this, then it all worked out good. Harry liked it.
Yep. So he goes to the gift store and he's looking for a horse gift for his little girl.
Right. But why? I mean, is that the only gift shop there? He's already been in there.
I don't know. I bet Black Island is pretty small. 1,000 people population. Okay. You know, it's not very big. So,
I bet there's more than one gift shop.
So the girl, it's probably all it is gift shops and bars. So the sales girl says, "I just missed
and a hotel.
You just missed your wife." And he sees her, and they make up. So what do you think Allie did? She got on the boat and got it right off the boat.
Why would you? I mean, what was the point of that? Why would she have done that? That doesn't make any sense to me because she has to get back. There's only one ferry. Why? I mean, she'd have to be on the ferry with him to get back.
She wanted to get away at the point at the initial, like, I'm getting out of here. I'm taking the next ferry to wherever it goes.
Well, I mean, I understand the passion behind her. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you here. You can't do anything about it. I get that. What I don't get is why she wouldn't have actually left. Because she said she had a cousin in Connecticut that would drive her home and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, she had it all planned out in her mind. So why she would have stayed there when she knew she would have had to have ridden back on the ferry with Noah.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, this is Noah's story. I don't think we hear the same story with her. I can't remember, actually. But all I don't think...
Well, this is where things start to go really... If they haven't gone south, they go, like, south fast for me here. So they get a room at the B&B, the bed and breakfast or hotel, whatever, and they awkwardly try to pay with cash.
Like, and he didn't have the money again. It's a money thing again.
Well, and plus it's, like, to cover up. Clearly, like, just take my credit card. You know, I don't care if I rent my room. But, no, it's cash only. Do you have an ATM I can go, like, so I can cover this up further?
And well, let me ask you, though, Mike, because you're a world traveler. You have to leave a credit card anyway at a hotel, don't you?
No, you could probably give them cash.
Okay. I thought you had to in case you destroyed something or, you know, drank too much from the bar
like
or whatever.
Like a dresser? Like kick a hole through a dresser, you mean?
Jeez. Yeah, something like that. But, I mean, I always thought you did. It's like renting a car. You can pay with cash, but you have to have a credit card to do
it. Well, they're not renting a car. There's probably places like that that take cash.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, and they may have taken a little creative license and dipped back 20 years ago that cash or credit. It's like, you know, you're right. Most places do want a credit card. But so he doesn't have enough cash, and she has the rest, so they get the cash together. But this is where it really started ping-ponging for me, Michelle. Like, they're together, they're apart, they're together. It's like back and forth. It's like too much, too fast.
I agree. And all they do whenever they get together is fight. Whenever they get together in that way, you know, and it's like, what is the point of this? I mean, really, you're going to have this kind of antagonistic behavior to somebody that is like supposed to be somebody that you're escaping with? I don't get it.
Come on, McNulty. You were the badass of Baltimore. Get your shit together.
Really? Come on.
He's like the Patsy of whatever. But anyway, that's it for Noah. So we go to part two, Allison. And they kind of continue on right from where they were, which was, that was interesting. Kind of they are in the room now.
Right. It's like a continuation of where it left off.
And they're in midstream sex here in this room. It's pretty animal. She's more animal in her version than he is.
Well, he didn't show us anything. It stopped before the sex started with him.
So do you think, is he more shy than she is?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't show the sex, so we don't know. But that's where it stopped with him, was right prior to the sex. And then it started with her during the sex. But so, she didn't look very happy to me.
Yeah, she sees herself in the mirror and, like, shamefully, like, looks away or feels.
She's got her wedding ring again. We see that. That's the only thing she has on her whole body, and it's like glaring in the mirror that she's looking at.
So she tries to leave, put on her dress and leave, and he's more goofy again. He's like an out of touch goof. He misreads her, like, where are you going? What are you doing?
Yeah, can it wait?
He doesn't even know how to talk to her. He's so out of touch with her.
But no, this is her story, so we have to remember that.
Well, but he is, though.
Right.
But so then Ellie and the detective, and like I said, they seem to really be there at this interrogation on their own volition. They come and go for phone calls and smoke breaks. And So here we hear the detective says how he's been married to his wife for 25 years, but earlier on he had talked about how she had custody. So what's the truth? And who's
right?
Is it
right? And is it earlier, or is it just the different situation with Noah? That's the situation that we don't know, you know. But also prior to that, she walks outside with her phone, and she, you know, she's like, "I'm being interrogated." Who's she talking to?
Yeah, probably Cole. But what's the point? Why would you lie about the? Who cares about the detective?
Yeah, I don't know. See, I don't know this. I don't understand any of this. And some of the people on Reddit are talking about how people are wearing wedding rings at some points, and they don't have wedding rings on at some points. And it's just this whole big convoluted thing, and I don't think we have any answers to it yet. But this is where he does bring up 25 years, and they still act like newlyweds. You know, and I put question marks all over that because it's just the opposite of what we've learned so far.
So we see more of Allie and Noah. She tells Noah about Block Island, and she asks him how he learned to swim, what kind of lake it was, how cold it was, how big it was, how old he was. And we learn pretty soon, I think, that she has a reason for wondering this, because it's like kind of what happened to her son. But she tells him they're at this beach, and she tells him the beach is haunted and points out that sunken ship in the whirlpool. You can kind of see the whirlpool. That was cool.
And that story about the little boy who died in the ship, and when the wind's blowing, you can hear him calling for his mother, and then she points out that she hears that, and she's like, you know, when she tells her story, you can really see her pain and her angst over this kind of stuff, and I thought that was a pretty good indication of that.
Yeah, but she has one point in there where she says there's no wind today, like you can't hear it today. What do you think that was about?
I don't know. I think she was just telling him, you're not going to be able to hear it even if you listen, but at certain times it can be heard. I think she didn't want him to disbelieve her.
Like, don't disregard this because you just can't hear it right now.
Right.
And so Noah says he still talks to his mother, his dead mother, I guess. Then she tells him to let it go. I guess it's probably a message to Allie, like, try to let it go, try to feel better about the present.
Well, he didn't know anything about her yet, though. So he still didn't know about the son or anything.
Right, but he's trying to comfort her, you know.
See, I like this Noah. I like the Noah she portrays. He's open and he's vulnerable and he's honest with his feelings and why he's saying the things he's saying. And the Noah he portrays is just like, are you kidding me? Anyway, and well, it's subtle.
It's interesting that Allie's point of view, they have the most physical sex and the most tender moments. Like, they have the most caring and animalistic both, which you would put at maybe opposite sides of the spectrum.
No, I think that goes together. I mean, because they're, like, bearing each other's souls, so they're bearing each other's bodies and you know.
All right, well, I guess you might be right.
Okay.
So back to the hotel for more ping-ponging. They start to fool around, and he asks her about the scraped leg or the cut leg, and it upsets her, and she wants to, you know.
Yeah, she freaks out when he notices that. And, I mean, he's up close and personal with the cut on her thigh, and he asks her what happens, which, I mean, what happened, which I guess is a reasonable thing to ask somebody. That, you know, that you're that close with, and she just freaks out.
Right. Why should I trust, why would I trust a cheating father?
Oh, I know. Was that like the most horrible thing you've ever heard? I mean, you know.
It's pretty true.
It's true, but he's saying, you know, you can trust me. I don't think that necessarily makes him untrustworthy. Well, maybe, I don't know.
That he's got four kids and he's cheating.
Okay, shut up, Mike. I get it.
You just made me lose my spot.
Sorry.
So then he kicks the dresser out of anger because she wants to leave again, and starts one of the dumbest sequences I've ever seen so far in this whole series, even though I've like expressed this 3 or 4 times already. But here's why I really wanted to give up on this whole thing. They exchange the dressers from another room. They're basically stealing. Those other people would have had to pay for that dresser. They would have been charged on that credit card. They're just acting like kids. They make it like a Bonnie and Clyde adventure. Okay, let's be in crime together and switch these dressers. And then they run away giggling.
I know. Yeah, it shows them like running outside. And I mean, you know, in the sunshine and all is happy and everything's good. But I mean, yeah, I even put down, you know, what a weird scene that was. And the point of paying with cash was so he wouldn't have to give a credit card. And then he makes some statement about how he can't have that show up as a charge on his credit.
Right. Or something. Childish. It's like I've talked about childish stuff before, but that's pretty childish. I don't know. Maybe that's how she turned into Pensatucky and got into Litchfield, her crime of like swapping dressers and hotel rooms.
The dresser swap. Well, that was pretty bad.
Anyway, they go back on the ferry to Long Island, and Allie apologizes to him. We should end this. Let's just leave it in a good place. And man, she's hot and cold, running emotions here.
But not as bad as him. I mean, still, you know, she just. I know, but you know. She's upset because he saw the vulnerable side of her and the part that she probably has kept. But, I mean, what did she expect? You know, she cuts herself the same day, right, or the next day, she goes to have sex with a guy in a hotel room on an island, and she doesn't think he's going to notice the cut on her thigh. I don't know.
So she gets a text from Cole about a new pony. He's getting a new horse, I guess. And when they get to Long Island, she can't unlock her bike. So Noah comes back to her and apologizes and gives her the ride back to town. And ping pong, they're back again, like hotness again. Cold hotness, cold hotness.
Well, yeah, but he stops along the way. And that's when she tells him her story. And she actually tells us her story there as well about Gabriel.
Right. So, Michelle, you were right. That tattoo on Cole's back is Gabriel the angel, and that's why she's fascinated / disgusted and repelled by it. She sees it every morning, and she can't bear to do it much longer.
Well, I can understand that. Can you?
Yeah, it's like in her face all the time.
I mean, I understand him wanting to get it as well. I get it. But I understand her not wanting to see it and be reminded of it every day or every time she's, you know, naked with him.
I guess. But I actually put a note in here, too, like because she went to the hospital and got the tools to cut herself and the tools to repair herself from cutting herself. Do you think she totally ruined her chances for that job? Is that over now?
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, she didn't even show back up. So, I mean, that shows she's not ready for it. Maybe later, but certainly not now. But, see, she had also pointed out to Cole earlier, she's like, I can't work with Oscar anymore. And I'm kind of curious. I wanted to get a guy take on this. If you had a wife or a girlfriend who was working with somebody like Oscar, I mean, we're assuming that she's pretty open about how Oscar is with her. It'd be kind of hard to hide it. Would you be okay with her continuing to work there? Because I thought that was kind of weird.
Well, Oscar's harmless. He's a flirt, and he's like a horn dog, but he's harmless.
Yeah, but he's so degrading. I mean, he even told her when she wanted to leave, he's like, yeah, go wash your hair or whatever you do. I mean, everything he says is offensive to me.
So she gets a job. She gets a high-paying job as a business executive, and her boss is the same dick. Her boss is Don Draper. So what? That's life, you know?
Well, if it's 1960, maybe you would expect that. But
no, it's true today.
I guess. I don't know. But you would be okay. As long as she was okay, yeah. You would be okay. Okay.
Yeah, she's strong enough to handle that creep. He's a zero.
Okay.
But so they get all the way almost back home. He starts to leave, but she says thanks, and then they start talking again. It's like so much ping ponging. It's like relentless. Like, what do you see when you look at me? And I guess she says.
I thought that was pretty good. I kind of like that scene right there.
I know,
there.
But how many times can they be close? I'm fed up. I'm out of here. Close. I'm fed up. I'm out of here.
That's all they've done since that very first met. That's
getting tired
all they've
of
done.
It.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, what do you see when you look at me? And I think you're going to say death. And he says, I'm a grown man. I know what I want. And they kind of reconcile. And then he stays at her house because Cole's away.
Yeah, was that her house? Did he stay in Cole's bed?
Yeah.
In their bed? Ooh. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if they stayed there or if they ended up staying at her girlfriend's house. But, geez. Really?
That's, so, and they have sex to all that groovalicious music? Like,
I gotta tell you, the sex looked a lot better, Mike.
This has gotten very chick flicky. This whole thing has gotten chick flicky to me. I need Criminal Activity and Danger. You know, I need the ominous, like, we're going to import heroin by the boat and we need a dock and we can't have this bowling alley. You know,
do you like it and you dislike that you like it, or do you just not like it?
No, it's dumb. It's dumb.
Okay, I have to admit that this going back and forth, it's so sophomoric. I can't even imagine a situation where two adults would go back and forth that much. And I realize we're kind of getting double dipped in it because we're hearing his story where he's going back and forth, then we're hearing her story where she's going back and forth. So even if we divide it in half, it's still too much. And I just don't like it, so I'm with you on that.
Well, you just told me to not give up because episode 5 is great.
I think you're going to be happier. It's definitely different than this. Episode 3 and 4 were both like that to me. They were both just this back and forth and back and forth. Like I said earlier, I mean, I'm like, you know, dizzy. I'm rolling my eyes so much over this. I'm like, really? You expect us to buy this? But episode 5 was a little different for me, so I'm excited about that. I don't have it ready to podcast or anything, but I have, like I said, at least given it a cursory watch. I couldn't look away after this, and I see Noah like in her bed at home, which I thought, and I'm like, okay, what's gonna happen? And it starts feeling much more dark to me after this.
Do they machine gun some zombies or something?
I don't remember zombies. Jeez, I don't remember zombies.
All right, well, I'll give it a shot. And if I don't make it through, it's been nice doing this podcast with you.
You'll make
it through. So this is it for episode 4 of The Affair.
Yay.
Tweet us at Michelle from TN.
Yep.
And scathing tweets. That's all I got, Michelle, unless you have anything else to add.
No, I don't.
What's the closing music for this one?
You know, there wasn't any on this one. There was on the other one, but on this one, there really wasn't. There was a song that they were playing when they were, you know, really getting into it. So, but I didn't.
Johnny Cash?
No, it wasn't Johnny Cash again. So, I don't know.
All right, we'll just have dead silence.
Okay, sorry.
All right, bye.
Bye.